John chapter 8. John chapter 8, we'll begin there and hopefully get some understanding in this passage this morning. Many years ago, the Peace Corps used an ad. This was many years ago. Some of you will be familiar with this because the ad became very famous. In the ad, they had a partially filled glass of water, and they asked the question, is the glass half empty or half full? And they were suggesting that your perspective in life can either determine whether something is positive or negative. There was a mother that, I don't know if she watched this ad, but she took advantage, I guess, of this idea, and she left her four-year-old son in the house, and she ran to put something in the trash. When she returned to the door, her little boy had locked the door, and so she was locked out. She started to ask her son to open the door, but he was four, and at that age, at almost any of those ages, I think they don't stop until they're about 25 or 26 some. But they were just ornery. So she knew if she said, hey, open the door, it was going to stay locked. And then she thought of the glass half full or half empty. And she said, standing outside, oh, man, it's just too bad. You just locked yourself in the house. And immediately the door was opened. All right, and so she learned that being half full or half empty, it does help. Well, this morning, our topic has been misconstrued in many untrue ways. So let's look at John chapter 8. John chapter 8, starting in verse 23, you'll see in context, Jesus right before is talking about, this is one of the I ams. In verse 12, he says, I am the light of the world, one of the I am statements. And then it goes down to verse 23, and Jesus here is speaking about his Father, the Heavenly Father. And he said unto them, this is Jesus, ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for if you believe not that I am he. And I'm referring to when he says, I am he, what was he saying? If they didn't believe that he was the Messiah, if they didn't believe that he was the Savior, okay? It's not just that he was a person. No, it was that he was the Savior. Ye shall die in your sins. Verse 25. Then said they unto him, who art thou? And Jesus saith unto them, even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge of you. But he that sent me is true, and I speak to you, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. So Jesus is saying, I speak from my Father, I speak of my Father, and that's what I've been doing. They understood not that he spake to them of the Father, and this is God the Father. Then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. As he spake these words, many believed on him. Then we come to kind of our core, our text here, verse 31 through 36. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and we were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Verse 34, Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house, forever, but the Son abideth ever. Verse 36, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Heavenly Father, we ask that you'd give us clarity of thought this morning as we look at Christ, the Son, and the liberty that he can give each and every one of us. We would ask that if there would be someone here this morning that has come in and they are in bondage to sin, or maybe even as these Jewish people said, I've never been in bondage. But Lord, they know even now as the Holy Spirit speaks to them, they know they've been in bondage to sin. We'd ask that the clarity of Scripture would come and that they would see Christ, the Son, can make them free. Lord, then there's some that are saved here this morning, and you've freed them from the bondage of sin, and yet they continue to live in that sin. Help them to come back to Christ and see that there is freedom and liberty in Christ. Well, thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Here in this passage, verse 32, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Then verse 36, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. We said that there's some major misconceptions. There's some major misconceptions when it comes to the liberty that Christ can set us free. I thought of two major misconceptions when it comes to Christianity and liberty. The one is that Christianity is restrictive. Here in this passage, it says that Christ can make you free. And there are some of you, it could be that you're a young person, maybe you're sitting in the balcony, you could be sitting out here and you're an older person, and you've always thought that Christianity, you know what, I don't mind Christianity, and you lump it in with religion, and when it comes to religion, you say, you know what, that religion is restrictive. It's just a bunch of rules. And I'm telling you here this morning, that's a misconception. It's looking at that glass and you're saying it is half empty. And I'm telling you this morning, it's not just half empty. My cup is all the way full and overflowing because Christ can make you free, and the restrictiveness that you think there is in Christianity, it is there in your bondage and sin. The devil is restrictive. My challenge to you, you that are in sin, if the devil is not restrictive, then quit smoking tomorrow. I don't want to. No, just do it. Come on. Hey, the next time you want to free yourself, those of you that are of your father, as we said, when I was saved, I switched families. I got a new family. I've been adopted into God's family. Now I'm in God's family. I was the devil's child, just like you. But at some point, I got tired of the devil telling me what to do. Because that's what my challenge is to you as we start out. Who's restrictive? I think the devil is. Because try to quit smoking, try to quit drinking, try to quit. Turn off the TV for 1 week. You know what will happen? All right? And pretty soon, we'll send us a text, an email, and we'll visit you in the psych ward. Okay? As you twitch there. Because you're like, oh no, I can't live without it. Who is restrictive? I think the devil is. Because he doesn't give you freedom. Two major misconceptions. Christianity is restrictive. And the second misconception is now it says that, hey, I am free. And there's this idea of free grace. And that's not found in scriptures. In fact, many have confused liberty with license to sin. And when Jesus saved me, the definition of freedom did not mean anarchy. It didn't mean that Christ gave me liberty so that I could be in bondage to my flesh. And I can now sin all I want. That is not what Christ freed you to do. Christ did not free you so that you have a license now to sin all I want. I got saved, and so now I can go and sin because my sins are forgiven. No, what you'll find is when you truly accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, that Heavenly Father, there's a love that starts growing inside your heart. Then all of a sudden, all you can do is think about loving the Savior and serving the Savior and giving yourself to the Savior. That's the freedom that He gives you. So as we start out, there's some major misconceptions. The misconceptions are there. But in this text, it says you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. It says then, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. So this morning, we want to talk about liberty. Liberty. Liberty is an amazing phenomenon. For America, our liberty didn't come cheaply. On March 23rd, 1775, hostilities between the American and British troops were breaking out in New England. Patrick Henry stood up in St. John's Church in Richmond, Virginia, and he made a fiery argument to the Second Virginia Convention. He was calling the colonies to gather strength and commit themselves to action. Listen to his words. He said, "Shall we gather strength by irresolution and inaction? Shall we acquire the means of effectual resistance by lying supinely on our backs and hugging the delusive phantom of hope until our enemies shall have bound us hand and foot? The battle, sir, is not to the strong alone. It is to the vigilant, the active, the brave. Besides, sir, we have no election. If we were base enough to desire it, it is now too late to retire from the contest. There is no retreat but in submissiveness and slavery. Our chains are forged. Their clanking may be heard on the plains of Boston. The war is inevitable, and let it come. I repeat, sir, let it come. It is vain, sir, to extenuate the matter. The next gale that sweeps from the north will bring no peace. The war has actually begun. Our brethren are already in the field. Why stand we here idle? What is it that gentlemen wish? What would they have? Is life so dear or peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery? Forbid it, Almighty God. I know not what others may take. But as for me, give me liberty. Or give me death." We read of people like Patrick Henry, and we read of those that signed the Declaration of Independence, and you've read some of their stories, and it was not cheap for you and I to have the liberty that we have today. And in fact, the liberty that they were standing for, most of us sitting here today, we understand that most of them were devout Christians, and they understood that liberty only comes when you understand Christ. And yet it's that liberty which is taken and sneered at today, so that now an immoral crowd can get on the internet and they can have pornography out there. That's not liberty. That's not freedom. And so I ask you this liberty that is mocked at, this liberty that is belittled, why do we take it so lightly? Because some of you haven't sacrificed anything. You've only been given things. You've only been handed something. It has cost you nothing. And so your liberty, your freedom means nothing. And the same is true when it comes to Christianity and it comes to our Savior. Some of you, you make a mockery of Christianity and you make a mockery of our Savior because you never, as the table down here says, you never do anything in remembrance of Him. Because our Savior shed His blood so that we could have freedom from sin. Liberty is not cheap. Liberty costs something. Waves of Japanese troops 150 years later. We talked about the Revolutionary War, and then 150 years later, waves of Japanese troops assaulted the Philippine Islands. At the outset of World War II, there was an overpowering against the Filipino and American defenders. The U.S. forces at that time were commanded by General Douglas MacArthur. He fought back, but their supplies were short. They were vastly outnumbered, and surrender was inevitable. MacArthur received personal instructions saying, "You must go to Australia." He was supposed to leave most of his soldiers back, and then in Australia, he was supposed to plan a counterattack. He refused to leave. And then President Roosevelt himself issued an order that he must leave. And he could not ignore it. The heartbroken general slipped past the Japanese Navy by boat and then got on a plane and he reached Australia. Once there, on March 20th, 1942, he made a solemn pledge to his men in the Philippines, "I shall return." In April, unable to hold out any longer, 75,000 American troops, American and Filipino troops, on the Bataan Peninsula surrendered. It was the largest mass surrender in American history. 75,000 troops. Some of you, maybe you've read it. I've read much on the Bataan Death March. Many of those soldiers, as they were marching, they were deprived of all kinds of things, and many thousands of soldiers on that march died. The captors beat and murdered many POWs. It was a 65-mile march. Then they took them to prison camps. American and Filipino soldiers then, some of them were on Corregidor Island, and they fared no better. The Japanese imprisoned thousands of Americans, other allied civilians, living in the Philippines, and for months, they didn't even feed them. They didn't feel like it was necessary. By the summer of 1942, the United States had launched a counter-offensive attack. But it took 2.5 years. Remember, it was in March of 1942, and it wasn't until October of 1944, 2.5 years later. Finally, on October 20th, 1944, MacArthur finally waded back onto the Philippine shores, and he said, "I have returned." But in between that 2.5 years, thousands of deaths. Thousands of deaths. And sometimes as we come up in just a week, we will be celebrating Memorial Day. And most of us for Memorial Day, or we come up to July 4th, and we're supposed to be thinking about our independence and the Revolutionary War. But most of us, either on Memorial Day or other times, we're just thinking about the brat that's cooking. We're thinking about a hamburger, and we don't realize that what we get to enjoy was costly. Liberty is never cheap. And that we're talking about in the physical realm and in the spiritual realm. Your liberty to be able to live freely for Christ and be able to live from under the bondage of sin, it was not cheap. Jesus Christ took off his robes, his high priestly robes. If you read in Hebrews, he was a high priest of the order of Melchizedek. And so he had to place those aside. And then he had to take off those righteous robes. He had never seen sin or never experienced sin. He had never committed a sin. And so he was all pure, all holy. And that was our Savior, God the Son. And he laid those aside and he came down to this earth. And he lived, he walked, and he talked. And he was there on this earth. And then they crucified him. And there on that cross, there they mocked him. And they looked at him and they scoffed him. Said, hey, you saved others. Can't you save yourself? That's your Savior. That's the person you say saved your soul, some of you. And yet you sit and you mock him at school and you mock him in church. He died for you. He gave you freedom. Why can't we live for him? Why, as a Christian, can't we stand for our Savior? Why do we take that mockery from everyone around us? Because our Savior, on an old rugged cross, he died. He shed his blood. And there he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That was your Savior. And so many people in this world, even as Americans, man, their almost tears come to their eyes when they look at an American flag and they say, wow, blood was shed. But I challenge you to look to Jesus Christ on an old rugged cross and tears should flow from your eyes. Because your liberty was gained by his suffering. Your liberty was obtained because he chose to lay down all of that and to die for you. So yes, I get irritated when maybe you as a young person, you come in here and on a Sunday morning, it's just, that's my Savior. He died on the cross. He died for your sin. He died for my sin. And it's a mockery? It's laughable. No, it isn't. It's not laughable that our Savior died on a cross so that even your mockery can be forgiven. As he said, Father, forgive them. And the sins of our nation, the wickedness of our nation, our Savior, I do believe this because he is omniscient. Our God, he's all-knowing. He knew what our nation would do to him someday. Do we walk so stupidly and through the Bible that we don't believe that we have a God that knows everything? God knows. He knew that way back in 1770s, he would bring together a group of men that had so much fortitude and so much character and so much Bible background that there would come to fruition a nation, I believe, above all nations. And then out of that, we could see America grow and blossom and spring into something that would lead the world. But our God knew. Why? All you got to read is the book of Judges. All you got to do is read the warnings to Israel. Said, hey, when you're prospering, beware. Watch out! And our nation now looks at our Savior and they make a mockery. They make a mockery of even our book. The book that can offer them freedom. A book that can get them from from under bondage. And they make a mockery of it. Oh, those guys! I forgot the dumb atheist. This week, was making some mockery of those that believe in creation again. And I'm sorry. Maybe I shouldn't be cynical, but I am so glad I'm created by God, and maybe he was hatched. It could be. Maybe he was hatched or evoluted. I really think that some of those guys, they're causing me to believe in evolution. But you know what? They can make a mockery of creation, but it doesn't change it. They can make a mockery of our Savior, but it doesn't change that you can experience salvation. Here in our text, the Bible tells us that we can have liberty. What does the Bible tell us? Verse 32, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And then in verse 36, it says, therefore, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. So how do we get freedom and liberty? Well, it comes in a passage earlier in John chapter 1. It says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So, what is the truth? Remember, Pilate was there and he said, what is truth? What is truth? Oh, right here in John chapter 1, the Word was made flesh. Who is that? It's Jesus Christ. So as you get to know Jesus, the truth can set you free. Jesus is the truth. Jesus came to deliver you from slavery. In this day and age, oh man, there's a big, you know what, we need reparations. Well, I'm sorry, none of you have been in slavery. You'd say, well, I know generations back. Tell me how you've been in slavery. Only slavery you have been in, you've jumped in. You jumped into the cesspool of cigarette smoking or alcoholism or immorality. You jumped into that. You developed your own slavery and bondage. And Jesus Christ can deliver you from that. Jesus Christ can deliver us from slavery. He can give us freedom. There is a Buddhist monk, and he was acquainted with Christianity and Buddhism. And listen to what he said. He was once asked what he thought was the great difference between Christianity and Buddhism. And this is what he said. There is much that is good in each of them, and probably in all religions. But what seems to be the greatest difference is that you guys as Christians know what is right and have the power to do it. And he said, while Buddhists know what is right, but we have no power to do it. Does that describe your religion here this morning? Does it describe the weight of sin that is upon you? And you've tried all kinds of things. You said, I'll go to church today. And so some of you, you've come out for the last few weeks. Some of you, every so often, you've come here and you visit and you say, man, I like it. Man, there's just a spirit here. I come in and I feel good. But then you go back out, and by Wednesday, your bad feelings are back. That bad feeling is there, and you say, man, I need to go back to church because I want that feeling again. Or maybe some of you say, wait, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to drop a check in the offering plate. And you know what? That will make you feel good. We could pause right here and I could talk about that feeling. Oh, man, it'll make you feel. And the bigger the check, the feeling just grows. An enormous, I mean, it's unbelievable. The more you give, But you see, I'm being a little sarcastic. Because you know what? Just giving, that's not going to make you feel good. Because you know, you're going to, by the end of the week, or maybe within a month, you say, man, I gave all that money. I should feel better. Man, all I feel is hungry right now. Wish I had that money back. But you know what? The feeling of giving, doing good deeds, coming to church. You've tried some of those things and you say, man, I'm not feeling that liberty, that freedom. It's because you haven't come to the truth yet. You got to get to the truth. And the truth is that freedom is found in Jesus Christ. Now look at what it says here in a text. I thought this was interesting. It says in verse 32, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. But notice in verse 33, they answered him. And this is a key for all of us here, saved and unsaved. We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. Now, are you guys historians? This is the Israelites talking. Were they ever in bondage? In fact, in the book of Judges, you can read of seven different times, just in the book of Judges, that they were in bondage. So what should that tell you and I? This is a very important point. For those of you that are unsaved, guess what? Sometimes you will never see that you're in bondage to sin. You're going to say, you're lying to me. No, I'm telling you the truth. And some of you that are saved, you have let sin come back in your life, and somebody has come up to you and said, come on, help, I'm trying to help you, you're in bondage. And sometimes those of us that are in sin, we lie to ourselves. I've never been in bondage. You see him saying that? And we laugh at him. But some of us need to laugh at ourselves. Because some of you that are unsaved, you've been saying that for years. God has been convicting you and saying, you are in bondage. There are shackles on you. And Christ can make you free. And you say, I'm not in bondage. Do you hear it? The clinking? Every time you walk, all of us hear it. There you come by. You can hear the chains rattling as you walk by. I'm talking spiritually. But the chains are there, and you can almost hear them rattle. And as they are rattling, you are saying, I'm not in bondage. It's silly, isn't it? But some of us that are saved, we're no better. Because some of you as a teenager, some of you as a young person, some of you as an older person, you have let bitterness or you have let anger or you have let something come in back in your life and it has shackled you down. Some of you, it could be worry. It could be fear. And there it is and it shackled you down. And some have come to you and said, come on. Come to Christ. Christ can deliver you. And you say, I'm not in bondage. Do you hear it? Shh. The chains are rattling. The chains are rattling. In this passage, their claim that they were Abraham's descendants and they've never been in bondage. It's silly. Yes, they've been in bondage. But Jesus explained, they were thinking physically, weren't they? And Jesus said, wait a minute. I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. So I ask you then this morning, are you free from sin? What do we mean by that? Who are you serving today? Because that's your master. You say, no, I can do what I want. No, Jesus said, hey, who are you serving? And this morning you got up and you saluted the devil. You couldn't help it. You couldn't help it. And out, you, some of you, maybe it's a young person, out spewed filth to your parents. Maybe as an older person, out spewed filth to your mate. out-spewed something to your children. I just got to go to church again. Out it came. That's your master. Why are you serving your master that way? Because he's telling you what to do. Jesus explained the difference between spiritual freedom and bondage is kind of, he gave an illustration. He said, what's the difference? A servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth forever. He said, the servant may live in the house, but he's not part of the family. And he can't be guaranteed a future. And so you may be coming into this church, but you're not part of God's family. And so you can come in the house and you can walk around the house, but you're still a slave. You're a servant. And the only way to change that way is to get into the family. How do you get into the family? God made it possible. He said, I'll adopt you. I've come, and you can accept me, and man, I'll take all your bad, and you can have all my good, and you can be part of my family, and you'll have liberty to come in and out, because guess what? Now you're part of the family. That's the liberty that Jesus is offering. How can we be set free? The Bible says we can be set free by getting to know the truth. And then it says, and getting to know the Son. The Son can set you free. The Son can set you free. Let me read a couple of verses in Galatians chapter 1. Paul speaks concerning Christ and he says, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us in the kingdom of his dear Son. So let me give you a couple of things that God can liberate you from. Christ can liberate you. He can deliver you from the pressure of sin. What is the pressure of sin? That's guilt and shame. You know, once I got saved, once Jesus took that burden, I don't have to worry about that burden. The guilt and shame are taken away. He took it for me. That pressure of sin is taken away. Christ is able to liberate you from the power of sin. Now, when I come to Christ and he takes that sin away, now I don't have to obey it. He liberates me from the pressure of sin, from the power of sin, from the penalty of sin. And what is the penalty of sin? You die in your sin. And you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. And I don't use it as a cuss word. It's an awful place called hell. Hell is just made light of today, but you study hell in the Scripture. It is not a place that you want to go to. It is not a place that you want to dwell. It's not a place that you're going to go to and say, man, I'll just have a lot of fun. No, there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. In fact, you can read the story of a man in Luke chapter 16 that went there. And he said, man, just put a tip of your finger in water and raise it up. And that would appease his suffering. I've never really done that myself. When I'm really thirsty, I don't just put my little pinky in and raise it up here and like, wow, man, I am just refreshed. But think about the torment. The torment is so bad that just the thought of that is refreshing. Oh, it's fun. That doesn't sound like fun to me, unless you're a sadist. But Christ is able to liberate us from the pressure of sin, from the power of sin, from the penalty of sin, and from the promoter of sin. Who's that? The devil. Satan. I don't have to fear and tremble. Why? Because he defeated him. That's told to us in Hebrews chapter 2. That's who liberated you. So then in Galatians 5, what does the Bible tell you and I? Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. So as we close here this morning, this is my question to you. If you have been in sin, if you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, then why not come to the person that can liberate you? He offers you liberty here this morning. Liberty that did cost something. But then as a saved individual, why are you living in sin? Why did you go back? It says stand fast in your liberty. Why are you going back to your yoke of bondage? Why are you going back to sin? Live and stand fast in liberty. Story is told of a rich Christian employer. He had a large company of employees, and many of them owed him a lot of money. And he was constantly trying to teach them Christian truths. And one day, he got a plan. He posted a note for his employees down where the board was, where all of them could read. And this is what the note said. All those who will come to my office between 11 and 12 o'clock on Thursday morning to present an honest statement of their debts will have them canceled at once. The debtors, the employees, they read the notice and they all were gathering around, and he put it up on a Monday. And so on Monday afternoon and Tuesday and Wednesday, they gathered around at lunch and at their breaks, and they're like, I don't believe that. No, there's no way he's doing that. I can't stand that boss. You know what? He's tricking us. They went around and they said all that. Thursday morning came. They gathered in the streets. They gathered in front of the office. But not one of them went up to the door. Instead, they gossiped. They complained. They said how bad the employer was. They ridiculed the notice. They said it didn't even make sense. At 11:45, one man jumped forward, dashed up the steps, went into the office, and presented his statements. The rich man looked and said, why are you here? He said, you promised to cancel all the debts of those who come to you as you instructed. He said, do you believe my promise? He said, yes, I do. Why do you believe it? Well, because I don't know, although it was too much for me to understand, you're a good man and I don't think you would deceive anyone. The rich man took the bill and wrote on paid in full. The poor man cried out and said, I knew it. I told him so. And then he said, I'm going to go show him. He said, no, wait a minute. It's not quite 12 o'clock yet. The others are not entitled to any special proof of my sincerity. When the clock struck 12, he let the forgiven debtor go away. He ran down and he waved the receipt in front of all their faces. Look, he did it. And guess what happened? All of them clambered up the steps, but the door was locked. They had waited too long, hadn't they? Jesus comes to you. He offers you liberty. He paid your debt in full. But the Bible says, but as many as received him, though. You know what you have to do? You got to come and you got to accept his payment, and you got to admit your sin. It's not going to happen without it. That man, he had that debt. It was a whole list of them. He had to admit, I'm a sinner. I owe this. You and I, we owe a great debt. Why? Because of our sin. We owe that debt, but Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, but he washed it white as snow. But you've got to come and you've got to accept that gift. Will you do that this morning? Heads bowed, eyes closed here this morning. Heads bowed, eyes closed. God may have convicted you in this area of salvation. I challenge you again in the book of John, chapter 8, it says, if the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Jesus Christ came and he's offering you liberty. Remember in our history, remember the French gave us the Statue of Liberty. Remember the quote, give me your poor and your tattered, your wounded. Guess what? Jesus comes to you and he stands there with his arms outstretched. And the poor and the maimed and the halt. He says, hey, come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's your Savior. He offers you liberty here this morning. Jesus can set you free. Maybe you're unsaved here this morning and God convicted you. God spoke to your heart. You understand now that your own things you've been trying, and you know what? There's still bondage there. There's still those shackles. There's the chains there. There's no freedom. And now you understand you haven't come to the truth, and that is Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ can set you free. This morning as we spoke, God convicted you, and in your heart you say, you know what? I don't believe I'm saved. I don't believe that I've ever accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I'd like to pray for you as we close. Is there someone like that this morning? You'd slip up your hand? Anybody like that? In the balcony? All right, thank you. Anybody else? You'd slip up your hand. Say, I have never accepted Jesus Christ. All right, thank you. Anybody else? Slip up your hand. You'd slip up your hand and say, I have never accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. All right, thank you. Anybody else? You'd slip up your hand. There's a few of you. Anybody else? God convicted you. All right, thank you. Anybody else? You'd slip up your hand. Say, God convicted me in this area of salvation. I understand. There's another one. All right. What about you that are saved? You've been living in bondage? What about you that are saved? You've been living in bondage? The Bible says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made you free. Don't take again that yoke of bondage. And you've gone back to that sin. You put on the shackles, and God gave you the liberty to throw those down. As a Christian, have you been living in bondage? You say, God convicted me of some area of sin. All right, thank you. You'd slip up your hand. All right. God convicted you. Yep. All right. Thank you. In the balcony. All right. Thank you. God convicted you. Anybody else? There's a number of hands raised. All right. Number of hands raised. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for Christ and the liberty wherewith you have made us free. Lord, help us to come to Christ, our Jesus, the Son, therefore can make us free, and he can make us free indeed. Lord, help us to find the truth in the Word of God. Thy Word is truth. And help us to understand that from the Word of God we can have freedom from sin. Help us to come to that freedom and accept that freedom. We thank you for those that